The scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked them, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right. Teacher, you have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all your heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any other questions. This is the reading of the word.
Thanks be to God. What a great example of loving your neighbor I just did. Let us pray. God of neighborliness, as Fred Rogers often prayed, let some word that is heard be thine. Amen. Something doesn't feel right. Hold on. So tomorrow is Mr. Rogers' birthday. And if Presbyterians canonize saints, Fred Rogers would be at the top of the list. He's a Pittsburgh favorite, and, as I mentioned, a Presbyterian minister. After attending Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, my alma mater, he was ordained to the Pittsburgh Presbytery in 1962. And although Fred wasn't a loud or a flashy man, he was radical. There are thousands of stories of children taking the lessons of love that Fred provided and just running with them. Children and adults who were surviving abuse, setbacks, hatred, they took the words and the actions of Mr. Rogers to heart, and they started to live the lives and share the gospel of Mr. Rogers, which was really the gospel of Jesus. Mr. Rogers preached the greatest commandment, and he preached it by living it. Now, that greatest commandment shows up over and over again throughout the entire Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, it's in there. Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Matthew, Mark, Luke. The greatest commandment says to love God with all of your heart, your mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. In this passage that Clara so lovingly read for us, and I'm so happy that it was Clara that read it for us. In this passage from Mark, a scribe comes forward, and he comes forward in full sincerity. He had just heard Jesus respond to a question about the resurrection. And this guy, he's a scholar of the Mosaic Law. And he was intrigued by Jesus' answer to the question. He recognized Jesus knew what he was talking about. And so this scribe asked Jesus a very commonly asked, a commonly debated question, what's the greatest commandment from God? You know, like there's 613 commandments in the Torah. It seems virtually impossible to follow that many rules every single day for the rest of my life. So if I can only adhere, like if I can like perfect one of those rules, which one should we focus on? And Jesus responds by quoting Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. So that's known as the Shema. In Hebrew, it means hear. It's the central prayer and confession of faith for Jewish people. It's recited every morning and every evening. A lot of Jewish people, most of the Jewish people I know, have that prayer written on a scroll, and it's rolled up and it's put in a box and placed on the doorpost, and it's called a mezuzah. And usually they kiss it as they walk in. It's a remembrance as they walk in that there's one God and that we love God. Orthodox men will wear these leather boxes on their hands and on their forehead. They're called phylacteries, and that those boxes contain the Shema in there, and they use those while they're praying. So Jesus recites the Shema, and then he elaborates that we are to love God, that we should respond to God who has created and holds all things in existence. We should hold God with every and love God with every aspect of our being. Our hearts, where all of our decisions and actions flow, our souls, which make us living beings, our minds, where thoughts and reasoning is animated, and our strength, because loving God requires every ounce of our energy. And if that itself wasn't enough, Jesus adds that we are commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves. And to love others as ourselves means making their well-being as high a priority as our own well-being is. And Jesus implies that these two commandments, they're inseparable. Our love for God is concretized, it's made permanent, and it's expressed in the ways that we love our fellow human beings. The Reverend Fred Rogers lived this commandment. It wasn't just on his TV show. He began every single episode, almost 900 episodes of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood between 1968 and 2001, by asking each one of us to be his neighbor. And Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood reached almost 2 million households during that time, and many more through reruns. That's a lot of neighbors. Mr. Rogers enacted neighborliness by way of this countercultural, radical kindness. It was much more than just niceness. It was more than just nice that Mr. Rogers offered. He was also setting forth Jesus's demanding theology of loving other people. He also recognized that it can be real difficult to love our neighbors. It's even more difficult when our own fundamental needs for acceptance and love aren't met. When those needs aren't met, we turn in on ourselves and we lash out at other people. We become afraid and fearful, and that fear just seeps out into society. It makes it an even more hostile place to be. It's just this never-ending cycle progression that just creates more fear and more anger and more antagonism in our society. To counteract this cycle of hatred, Rogers used his understanding of specialness. When we recognize our specialness, we can recognize the specialness in other people. And we can love them as they need to be loved. And then in turn, they're able to circulate that love unto other people. So instead of unleashing hostility into the world, Jesus and Mr. Rogers calls all of us to unleash some empathy so that more and more people are brought to the dynamics of love. It may come as a surprise to you, it may not, that I was bullied a lot in my youth. The way people treated me ranged from completely ignoring me, literally completely ignoring my existence, to physical harm. And it was so incredibly painful and so lonely. And I had a lot of anger and sadness. I had a real poor image of myself, and because of that, sometimes I lashed out at other people. Believe it or not, I can be pretty mean. I'm not kidding. Mr. Rogers was also teased as a child. Just like me, people told him, just ignore it. But he couldn't. And I couldn't. And while that treatment made me lash out, it led Mr. Rogers to a deeper insight into the human condition, that acceptance and love is a fundamental human need. He recognized that fear of disapproval leads to a sense of guilt and anxiety about being unworthy and wrong. And when you feel the worst about who you are, you're gonna look out with evil eyes on your neighbor and you're gonna believe the worst about them. You accuse yourself, you accuse your neighbor, get your neighbor to accuse someone else. That evil, it just thrives and it just spreads. Alternatively, when our own unique importance is identified, legitimized, celebrated, we're then moved to become aware of other people's needs that are similar to our own. We can help others see that they are loved. And then they can go on and love others. And it becomes this social force that draws in more and more people. You are special is not as much of an affirmation as it is a call to action. Mr. Rogers had a lot of critics. My mom was one of them. She just thought he was creepy. And for some reason, I asked her if she thought people being nice was creepy, and she said yes. And I said, well, that maybe some therapy is needed. but But critics, you know, range from, like, when people criticize Mr. Rogers for this theology of specialness, this telling children that they're special, they're saying that, you know, it's just like a meaningless platitude, and like, why are you telling kids this? And then other critics, you know, go all the way to the other end where they're like, you're just creating narcissistic kids who just think that they're special and they deserve everything. And, you know, maybe there's something there, but what these naysayers are assuming is that Rogers is saying that specialness is just this description about people. You're so special. But what Rogers was really saying is that specialness is a way that we treat other people. It's how we counter a fearful response to being vulnerable. I'm betting that each one of you has at least one person in your life that has seen the specialness in you. And I'd like you to do me a favor and take 15 seconds to think of these people. Think of the way that they have appreciated you, accepted you, accepted all of you, your quirks and oddities, the things that make you unique, the things that make you lovable. So think of those people, and I'll keep time. I thought about my grandma Wilma, who was always happy to see me, no matter how grumpy I was. I thought about my best friend's mom, Mom Gall, who, during the worst of my bullying experiences, always gave me compliments about my dress or my artistic abilities, and she always gave the most sincere and comforting hugs. Mm-hmm. She made me feel safe and loved and special in some of my most vulnerable times. Mr. Rogers said, once you realize that everybody's your neighbor, you have a choice. You can either be an advocate or an accuser. An accuser is somebody who only sees what's awful about themselves, so they look through the eyes for what's awful about their neighbor. And an advocate is somebody who looks at their neighbor through the eyes of God and sees what's good about that person because they're created in God's likeness. That's a very simple and basic truth that's easy enough to say, but it's tremendously difficult to live out in our daily lives. We're not likely to be perfect at seeing the best in our neighbors, but if we make it a priority, we'll be able to do it more often than not. And when we do, we'll be spreading the love and peace of God throughout the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.